You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm Alan Cardoza, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. As a licensed private investigator and certified instructor in nonviolent crisis intervention, with over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate enough to meet and work with some of the top professionals in this field. I will bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. This show brings you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, and dealing with addictions and international parental abduction. Today, I'm thrilled to have as my guest one such professional who has lived it herself and is now focusing on how to help the rest of us, Trudy Morrison. Trudy has worked for and with nonprofit organizations for over 25 years. She and her husband, Richard, live in Portland, Oregon, and they have a blended family of five children, now in their 20s. Trudy has a degree in psychology and her California secondary teaching credential. She is a co-host of a new radio show called Parenting Unplugged and is also developing a new show called Earth to Parents, where she will invite kids to share their stories, seek resources, or just vent. Trudy, I love the name Earth to Parents. I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to say that and bit my tongue. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very, very much. Yeah, it's an interesting one. It came to me while I was my best ideas come when I'm walking the trail with my dog. But I just started to realize that when you say to your kids, you know, Earth to Matthew or Earth to Lauren, it's the same thing. They are kids, and they're going through their developmental stages, and they're kind of saying, hey, remember when you were my age? So that's where that came from. Thank you.
All right.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, as we discussed, my company usually brought in when the parents are at their wit's end. Will you share with our listeners some of the things they can do to prevent themselves from getting to that point in the first place?
Well, first of all, I have been at that place, so mm-hmm. I understand with parents being at their wit's end. The most important thing we can do is going back to from the beginning, which is to think about building a relationship with your children. And that's building trust and building communication, and it all stems from love, which we all love our children. But the most important thing we can do is understand and learn about the developmental stages. Because if we understand what stage in their development about, we can provide age-appropriate activities and boundaries for them. And that's one of the most difficult things to do. I was fortunate. We went through a lot of crises. And one of them where I had my son off to wilderness school and on to a ranch with horses, which is mm-hmm. another story. But I never had to invite somebody in because I had built the relationship with my children, and he did trust me. And so I was able to take him there. But the most important thing is to go, you can always start building your relationship. It doesn't mean because you didn't do it in the beginning. You can't start at age 12 and 13 and 15 and 16.
Exactly. And one of the things that you just touched on, which is love, and I noticed that going to your website, one of the things that you had mentioned was that you tell them you love them every day. And I don't think that parents realize how important that is to them. I know that my boys will tell me, you know, Dad, I just want you to know how much we appreciate that. And, and at the same time, I know that I've worked with a lot of families that when I tell them something like that and they go, well, they know I love them. I go,
right.
But it doesn't mean you can't keep telling them.
You know, it's interesting because when they were babies, when my first son was born, an infant, a friend of mine said to me one day, oh, my God, you tell them you love him all the time. And I go, I guess I do.
Right.
But it's just a great way to reassure them. And, in fact, my older son, who's now 29, our joke with us is that I would always, when I wanted to talk to him about something with all of them, and he's the only one that figured it out, I would go, I love you. You are the most wonderful child. You do have all of these great qualities, but you really need to work on this. And finally, one day he was 21, and I said, Jonathan, I love you, and you're just absolutely wonderful, and graduating college. And he looked at me and he said, Mom, get to the butt. And he's the only one that's figured that one out yet. And the others are still in their 20s.
Well, but I think also, I mean, it's important, too, that we tell them in the good times and the bad times.
Right.
So
exactly. And when you're angry at them.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're angry at them. I love you, but I'm angry at you. It's a communication issue that is one of the hardest things to achieve with your kids. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm like the best parent. I mean, I have communicated exactly the way I wanted to that day with whichever child I was with, and I'm feeling so proud of myself. I'm like, hey, maybe they are going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe we're all going to make it. And then comes the day when I lose it and I totally screw up. And then I go to my room and I go, oh, my God, I am such a bad parent. They'll never make it. But they did.
Well, but I think that's a great thing to admit to. I think a lot of parents don't want to admit to the fact or really let other people know or other professionals know that we have those feelings sometimes, and it becomes a feeling of self-doubt. I think being able to share that with people and being able to – and also to share it with your kids. And I know that I've had situations in which I've told them – I've come back out of that scenario you just explained and said, first of all, I want you to know – that I apologize. I apologize.
Exactly.
You know, just like any other human being, there are times in which I might be cranky. There are times in which I just might not be having a really good day. And we try to remove ourselves from our loved ones sometimes so that we don't vent on them, but we're not perfect, and sometimes it happens.
Exactly. And I find that there's a difference between being reactive and being proactive. And the times that were reactive, I finally learned as I got older with them, is that, oh my God, I am being reactive. And that's not working here. And I looked at them and I'd say, you know what, this isn't working for me right now. I'm not thinking clearly and I'm reacting and I need to go take a bath. And then we can come back and revisit this. And I find that it gives both my children and myself, in fact, in any relationship, it has nothing to do, it's about relationships. And those relationships are between parents, between kids, but to take yourself out of the situation and find that place where you're being, where you understand that you've just been reactive, and it's not necessarily rational.
Right. And I think, too, what's happening is that this is all part of their training, because this generation is going to pass on to their kids also that openness of, you know what, I'm going to communicate with you in the good times and I'm going to communicate with you in the bad times. I'm going to be open about my shortcomings. And hopefully they will then pass that on to the next generation.
Exactly. And it lets them know that it's okay. I mean, with my son, when you talk about taking the kids off to camps and stuff, now, I knew I was losing my senior at the time. He's my youngest. And he's my ADHD. He's just an amazingly great kid. Big heart. Really, really bright. But he had too many parents at the time. I'm remarried. My ex-husband remarried. He's now divorced again. But he had too many adults in his life who didn't necessarily agree. And so I was a constant in this whole thing. But I knew I was losing him a little bit to smoking, marijuana, which is to ADHD kids is also kind of a self-medicator.
Sure.
But when I realized he wasn't accomplishing and I was getting information, I pulled him out of school and I said, you know, you need to go off to this. And we were able to work that out. But I also knew the people at the wilderness camp. So I had a connection. And I think those are questions for you, because you've been more involved in this. I wish, when I was raising my kids, that these kinds of programs were on, which is why I'm doing these programs. Because the times I went through these issues, I would say to everyone, what can we do? Where is there someone that will work with our whole family, which I think is important? Because you can't take a child out of a situation and then put them back in the same family dynamics.
Right. Well, and you're absolutely right. This is an industry that has grown incredibly just in the last 15 to 20 years, has made huge strides. And one of the areas, maybe just in the last 10 years, has been, I think, what you're starting to get to right now, which is aftercare. It's so important. It's so important in the sense that the child is still going back into that environment. And when they go into that environment, there has to be changes, or they're going to fall into the same patterns. In fact, and I have a story in regards to that. There was a father, really, really caring father, and we had transported his daughter 3 times. Mm-hmm. And finally, after the 3rd time, and things had gone right back to the same thing, he contacted me and said, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do at this point in time. You know, I've tried everything. I tried this kind of program and that kind of program. And I looked at and I said, what's the common denominator? And he went silent. And he went, it's me, isn't it? I go, think about it. I go, each time she comes back, you know, you're all pumped up and you go, wow, this was great. You know, she has so much structure in her life and she has boundaries and she's journaling and everything is going great. And then after a few months, you end up calling us going, oh no, we have all these problems again. The common denominator is you. Fix the environment that they're coming back to. And then you don't end up sending them to programs 3 or 4 times.
So what is the aftercare these days? Because I still find, now I found in Portland, Encompass Institute, they work great with the whole family. And I need to preface here. My son it was a marijuana issue, but he learned more about drugs when he went away to the ranch. Why can't I think of it right now, in Arizona?
Well.
With horses. He learned more about drugs there than he did here. Okay, so his issue was not quite at the level of, you're talking about kids who are into meth and cocaine and everything, which is a horrible, horrible, it's a really difficult one to face. I don't want to make it seem like, oh, ours was really easy, we just came out and did it. But we didn't, there's so many deeper problems involved. But what is, having that been said, what is the aftercare now for people? Well, I think that's a really important issue because the family dynamic, and as I want to reiterate, it is never too late to build the relationship.
Absolutely.
Well, I want people to have hope. So what is the aftercare?
Well, to answer your question, and the interesting thing, and I'm loving this, by the way, I think, as everybody knows in my introduction, okay, Trudy also has her own radio show. So all of a sudden, I'm realizing we're sort of interviewing each other.
Exactly. It's really fun.
Yeah. From the aftercare standpoint, and I want to back up just a little bit on one of the things that you said, and that is when they go from one program to the other, oftentimes, I mean, that sort of points to how important having a really good professional involved, a really good educational consultant, a psychologist, or whoever it is that's sort of the team leader for that group, so that they make sure that when they come out of one program and if they're going into another, that that is the best fit. They're also now coordinating the home care, or in some cases the program itself is. They're setting it up to where once they get back home, they're setting people up with a local therapist. There are some programs that set it up through video conferencing. But it's a situation that's evolved in such a way that there is contact. Many programs now have, 3 to 6 months afterwards of working with the family to make sure that the family has the structure that was brought to the child through the program, some of which are even starting it before the child comes out of the program. They'll start it with the parents so the parents understand this is the structure that's working, this is what they are learning, and you as the parents have to follow through with this for this to succeed.
You know, Alan, you're right. We are interviewing each other, but actually what we're really doing is what we both want to do is get resource information out to families.
Absolutely.
So that's our process. But let me ask you another question. Do you, and this is one I want to know, do you have statistics on the success rate of kids and different age groups? Because if you take a child out at a younger, like 12, 13, 14, 15, you send them back into an environment like a high school, that's also another thing to contend with. And then if you take out a 20-year-old, it might be a whole different set of statistics. Are there statistics right now?
Well, I think the statistics are different. I know a lot of the programs have statistics, but the benchmarks on what they are basing it on is different. So it's really it's really hard to compare those. One of the things that allowed me to come up with, I think, the best statistics of all, which was in 1999, I contacted about 600 past clients. And the reasoning was that in California, there was a bill coming out that was really bad for parents and I believe bad for kids as well. I began fighting the bill. I got very active in a group called the Parental Rights Association. I was active in going to Sacramento. But I needed more of the grassroots people that have gone through this to do the same thing, to start contacting, whoever their particular legislature,
right.
Who their particular congressman or senator is, and to say, look, this is what I went through, this is what my child went through, and here was the result. What we had after contacting 600 is we had an overwhelming majority. I mean, it was like over 80% of them had really positive things to say about the benefits of the program for their children. And I mean, I realize that, again, that's a little bit skewed because there were some of them who, I mean, that's 600, there was more that we tried to contact, some of which that we couldn't reach. it may be the reason we couldn't reach them is because things didn't go real well.
Exactly.
Some of the ones that we did contact that didn't respond may also have not responded because they just weren't happy with it. But for the most part, really positive things. And these were people that were so convinced that it was a positive thing, many of which came to Sacramento or wrote letters and even were the kids themselves. So these were kids that I transported when they were 15. Well, actually, one was as young as 13, now being over 18, and they are going to Sacramento, talking to an assembly person or a senator, and sitting down and saying, and one girl, and I loved what she said, she sat down and said, when I was 13 years old, I was doing drugs, I was staying out all night, I was having sex with older men, and I was driving my mother crazy. My mother sent me to a program, and after 2 years there, I not only caught up with where I was as far as schooling. In other words, she was about a year or two behind in her schooling. She says, I not only caught up, but I surpassed where I was at. And now at 16 years old, I am graduating and I am being offered the opportunity to go to, and I think it was Stanford or Boston College, because she was brilliant. She said, I would have never got this opportunity. I would have never been going to college. And she said something that the politicians understood greatly. She said, if my mother had not done this, you would be paying for me either because I would be pregnant, I would be in jail, or I would be dead.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's wonderful. Those are the kinds
really
of testimonials
powerful.
We need.
Absolutely.
Parents need help and kids need help. Parents, if they're in that relationship, I'm not talking about single parents need help on one level, but parents together. One of the family dynamics is, and I talk about this with parenting, the story I tell is my daughter, my kids love that I tell stories, by the way. I have permission from all of them. My daughter was in middle school, and she came to me one day, and she goes, Mom, I have the biggest crush on this really cute black guy. What do you think? And I thought for a moment, these are one of the moments you shoot from the hip, okay? Mm-hmm. So your true feelings come out. I said, Lauren, what I found is that the more you have in common, the less you have to fight about. But there's always something you give up. But those are the things that are kind of obvious, race, religion, color, mm-hmm. Different countries. But when you get into being two parents working together, what is not obvious, but what comes out when you have children is how you were each raised.
Yep.
That's what interferes in the relationship. And dealing with the kids and often interferes with the situation. One parent might be raised very structured and very stern, and the other might be raised very loose and very, wide boundaries. And I found that that's been a problem, and it's been a problem with more families than I can think about. And so first you have to get the parents to understand where they can come together. But the other thing is that my son is now 21, and I actually asked him if he'd come on the show with me. And he said, I would, but he's down in Eugene with his girlfriend. So I said, what can I say and not say? He said, Mom, you can say anything. It doesn't matter. But the nice thing was what happens is some kids just have to figure out themselves. And all I did with my son was just, I was there. I did not do tough love because I had a relationship with him. And I just, every day I would say to him, I love you. And yes, you just screwed up again, but today's a new day. Mm-hmm. And every day was a new day. And every day got him to the next day. And he said to me, Mom, you're the one that's gotten me through. Until finally he realized that his screwing up had cost him going to a really good university.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally realized what he wanted to do, and so he's now getting A's in science courses and stuff. So sometimes all you can do is to buy them, let them know you are there. So and every family's different. That doesn't mean that's going to work for another family. And that's part of what I believe in doing Parenting and Unplug is we have to give many different approaches because every family is unique.
Mm-hmm. And actually, so that I don't forget to do this a little later on, tell them how they can listen in on Parenting Unplugged.
Okay. You can listen on Parenting Unplugged. It's on, right now it's on Sundays. We're changing in April, though. Sundays at 4 o'clock, and you go to www.parentingunpluggedradio.com. And you can listen live on Sundays, or the shows are archived 24 hours later. I think actually two of the people that have been on our show that would be really good for your show and for your families, and I'm going to give you the links for them. One is if they go on and listen to Gwenda Montgomery, which was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And her website is, well, actually, she's in Portland. So if you're not in Portland, she's part of Positive Parenting. And Positive Parenting is national, which is great because you can find it in your area.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be www.positiveparenting.com.
All right, and I appreciate that. And actually, for those out there, I did listen to part of this show, and I really liked it. I not only liked what Glenda had to say, but I also liked just the feel of the show. It's a little bit different than this. I like the fact her co-hosts are married, and they really talk about some of the personal things to where they'll sort of do like an update. They do like, I forget what it's called.
It's a dirty laundry
update. Let's do a dirty laundry update where the wife gets to point out some things about the husband that maybe she wasn't as pleased about.
And vice versa,
yes.
Point them out about him or her, too.
Right. Well, I think the part that I heard, I think I just heard her part.
Yeah.
So I didn't listen long enough to hear his.
That's right. Well, it goes both ways. And it's a constant working out and understanding how my belief is, I'm right there with Steve Harvey, that we think, women think one way and men think another. Men want to fix it. You know, women want to talk about it. And it's really, I find it actually quite interesting. But the other one, if you're in the Portland area, and although you don't have to be, is Encompass Institute. And this is a group that also works with the whole family. And they have retreats and family weeks and stuff so that people come from all over. And their website is www.encompass, encompassinstitute.org. And I'm trying to give these because I want families to have that information, the information that I didn't have and have had to look for, but my kids are in their 20s.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's where we synergize the most is, I think, what I saw when I started checking out your show, and I looked at it and I went, the one thing that I see is we're both trying to do that. We're trying to get as much information out there as possible
exactly.
to parents so that they can make an educated choice.
Exactly. And I think we're fortunate today. Parents today are fortunate to have the internet as a resource, and you know, shows like this. I'm watching more and more come on. I think it's great.
Yeah, and
so
it is the future. And in fact, on the press releases that I send out at the very bottom, it shows people how to get the show on their iPhone. You know, that they can they can go right into Flycast. I think, or there's a couple others they can use. And be able to get the show, listen on their iPhone anywhere in the world, which I think is incredible.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Let me bring in I did get a listener question. So based on us sending out the information a week or two in advance, and this question, it's a rather long one, so I'm going to be reading, so bear with me.
Listen carefully.
Yes. It says, I went to your website when I saw you were going to be on the show. You seem to have gone through some very difficult times. If you don't mind talking about it, I lost my 16-year-old stepson to an automobile accident about 2 months ago. My husband is consumed with grief. He just sits around the house looking at the TV. He seems to be pulling away from me. What can I do to help him through this? I feel our marriage is in jeopardy. Wow.
Well, that's a good question. Yes, my 16-year-old stepdaughter, my 16-year-old stepdaughter was killed in a plane crash in the middle of our divorce, actually. So, And I was very, very, very close to her. However, I lost a baby at a month old, and I lost my stepdaughter. And for my stepdaughter's mother, who's a therapist, it was her only child. So I have a little bit of understanding of how this goes. People grieve in different ways, and people need to be allowed to grieve. And I know you feel helpless, and you don't know what to do. And I'm sure you have, I don't know how close you were with your stepson, but I'm assuming there's some feelings of loss. But if you just stand by your husband and let him know that you're there, and that you're there for him, and you understand he has to grieve. I also don't know if he's getting any help with grieving, or if there are any other children, if they have children together, or they have other, if he has other children. For me, one of the things that got us going is that I had three other children. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a choice about getting up in the morning. I just had to. I wouldn't have been able to sit on the couch because I had three other children who needed me at the time, and they were young. But you have to understand that people grieve in different ways, and you have to allow people to grieve and take their course, and just let them know you're there.
Okay. Now, if this person, and I know you had some questions, if this person wanted to email you and go in a little more depth, how would they do that?
Absolutely. They can email me at Trudy, T-R-U-D-I, dot parenting, no, wrong, wrong, canceled, sorry. Trudy, T-R-U-D-I dot parenting, I'm sorry, wow, I'm stuck on this one.
Earth to parents.
Thank you. Trudy, T-R-U-D-I dot earth to parents at gmail.com. My website's about to go up, but as a separate show, but I use that because that's my production company.
That's great. Well, you seem pretty candid about your own experiences. What would you say was your biggest mistake as a parent?
Oh, the joke on the website. I have a joke on the website. One of the things I have with my children is a lot of humor. And the biggest mistake was not when we went through a divorce with my stepdaughter was killed in a plane crash, and their grandfather had died 6 weeks before, and their other grandfather, my father, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So it was a really tough time for our kids and our family. One of the things I couldn't find was somebody who would work with us as a whole family. So the biggest mistake in terms of that was that I didn't have the resources to have somebody come work with our family as a whole to help us not only get through this, but allow to enhance the communication, to enhance everybody being able to talk about their losses. And that was the hardest thing.
Yeah.
And we finally did later on, after the problems had issues that blossomed with my kids and had gotten way worse than they would have gotten if we had had a whole family resource to work with us.
Okay. And on the flip side, what would you say was your biggest success as a parent?
It's on my website. I said I love them every day. They know that. But I say it. And in return, I get it back from them every day, too. We don't hang up a phone. Part of that has to do with the loss of their sister. One day, the minute she was there, and two, she wasn't. So we always, when we go on planes and everything, we just say, you know, we make sure. But every day, each of us says, I love you. We have a lot of humor. And I dealt with situations with some humor. And the other thing was that I taught them that life was an adventure, and that sometimes there were good adventures and sometimes there were bad adventures, but there's always a story to tell. And so that we could talk about things. And I think as a result, our relationship is just is great. And my kid's stepfather, and I have stepchildren too, put a lot of energy in spending time with our kids. And what I found was that for us, because we have our children want to be with us in their 20s, they love being with us. And we love being with them, to be honest with you. So I think we just put in a lot of time and effort and love with them and getting a good relationship.
Well, I think that's wonderful. You know what? Let's take a break. Again, for those out there, we are talking with Trudy Morrison, and we will be back in about a minute and 2 seconds. There we go. Founded over 25 years ago,
to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
And we're back. All right, we are here with Trudy Morrison, and we are talking about helping your children, setting up a positive level of communication in hopes that you don't get to that point in which you are at your wit's end. So, Trudy, tell us a little bit more about your new project.
Well, my new project was, I started this about 3 years ago, and actually now it's broken off into the parent side and now the kid side. My new project is about kids from their point of view and their perspective. It's about who they are, how they express themselves, their music, and I'm just building that just now, getting that going. But the first show, which is I'm really excited about, my daughter is in Israel going to graduate school, and so I'm going to visit her, and I went, oh, this would be a fabulous first show. And so I have managed to get together. There are kids from a high school in Portland who have been studying the Middle Eastern crisis. Mm-hmm. And they have they had a class where they each took on the role of the leaders in the Palestinian Israeli conflict, and then they had a peace conference and they made a proposal. And I was fortunate to go to those classes, and they did a great job, and it spurred me to think, wow, if we could get these kids and find Palestinian kids in Portland, American Palestinian mm-hmm. kids and Jewish and Christian in Portland, and put them in the studio, and then when I'm in Israel, find Palestinian and Jewish and Christian and Arab children there, what a great show that would be. And that's what's happened. There's an organization in Israel called I have to bring it up because I just got in touch with them today through my daughter. Anyway, they're setting it up in Israel because they already have a program where they've connected the kids. So my goal is to find peace and diversity. Hopefully the next generation will find peace and diversity and to connect kids from all over the world and allow them to express themselves.
You know, if I can help in any way, and I'd love to talk to you more about this once we get off the air, but I'm chairman of the board of the World Association of Detectives. And we have a committee that sets that up amongst our members. So we have about 800 members in about 70 countries. And it's been going on for now at least 20 years that I know of, because 20 years ago, one of our members in England sent their daughter over to stay with various families in the United States. So there was some initial talking, and then they started coming out to stay and to visit. Some of our members who are in Holland, and some of their kids came and stayed with some other members in California. I know that we're getting some of the kids together. They're talking, and just as you said, we have some of our Israeli members that are in contact with other children here in California. We have some of our members in Malaysia that have invited our children to not only start communication, but also to come over and visit. So I agree completely, and I think it's a wonderful idea.
We do need to get together and talk about it. One of the great things about this is, again, it's internet radio, and when we do this show, it opens up the opportunity for kids from all over the world to instant message in or email in or send their questions in. And I'm really, really excited about this project. So, and the more we do, the better. I'm actually, you're the international detective. What you don't know about me is I'm part of the FBI Citizens Academy.
Oh.
And I was invited to go to the Citizens Academy with the FBI, and it's been just a hilarious experience. I've had the best time, and I got to shoot a Glock and a machine gun and a rifle. And as a result, I'm actually having, on Parenting Unplugged, I'm having one of the agents come on and talk about cyber predators.
Now,
for young kids.
Do they have locations all over the world or all over the country?
They have them all over the country, but, you know, like we're going on a tour to Washington, D.C., an FBI tour. But they're doing these academies so they can find resources in the community, too. And they wouldn't have had a connection for me in Israel, I don't think. I mean, some of those things are still quite... I'm not an agent,
right.
So I don't get to know anything until the world knows it.
Well, when we get off the air, can you email me that information? Because I may be able to help them. We have a networking function coming up in Florida at the end of this month. And if they have chapters in, for instance, South Florida, we may be able to invite them to come to one of our functions where there's not only a former FBI, there's former Secret Service, former Special Forces. I mean, just a huge assortment of investigative and security backgrounds amongst our members. So I'd love to invite them. I think that if they already have that training and they have that interest, I think they would love something like this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll just connect you with the Citizens Academy nationally. They
Perfect.
Do have it nationally.
Oh, that would be great.
I'm pretty sure. So
that'd be good. So we we'll just network back and forth on our radio shows. We'll just call each other.
Exactly. I'll forget everybody else. But, you know, this other one, this for parents also, this internet issue. I mean, there was a 15-year-old girl in Portland who went off with a 34-year-old guy because of meeting on the internet. None of her friends knew.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship had been going on for a year, and her parents didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's the double-edged sword. You know, the all the wonderful
exactly.
things, all the great information you can get, the resources that you can get, that's a positive. The negative then being situations like this. And I know one of the things that we tell families is that computer should be in a common area. The computer
mm-hmm.
should not be in their room. They should not have a lock on their door so that they can go in there and be approached by these type of people. If it's in a common area where they have to be concerned that the parents at any time are going to be able to walk by and there's a password on it so that they're not on it when the parents aren't there.
All right. I think that's good, and we always never let a lot of the kids have even TVs in their rooms because the reason being it doesn't build a relationship. And so I'm going to go back to talking about this because your kids can find a way. It doesn't matter where your computer is. They can find it at somebody else's house or
mm-hmm.
in the library, whatever. And so, again, it's about building the relationship and having that communication and talking. And I found my best place to talk. I mean, my husband used to kid me about, why are you picking up your kids 3 blocks away? I said, because in those 3 blocks, I learn more about what they're up to. Then when they get home, they're gone. They're like, bye, I got to go do homework.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that the car was just the best place to have discussions with my kids. And so no cell phones, everybody. Turn those cell phones off when you have kids. But it's talking to Matt. One day I went off with my son to buy, he wanted this video game. And actually, just after we bought it, I went, my God, Matt, this is really violent. I'm really concerned about this. I'm concerned about... you know, what you will take out of this, what you do. And he looked at me at Mom, and he goes, Mom, I know the difference between reality and fantasy. And so the issue became then, I have to learn to trust him because he's just given me information
mm-hmm.
that was really important.
Now,
and he knows that I know what he's getting. He's open with me. He didn't have to sneak it. But it's all about the communication.
Right, and it's all about stages because that mm-hmm. accepting that answer at one age is not necessarily
right.
going to be accepting at 10. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, I doubt if my 10-year-old would have said that. But my
right.
10-year-old wouldn't have been getting that video game either. But it is, it's a tough one because we have to then, part of Parenting Unplugged is learning about how to not reject your own unbreaking, but to sort through it and to not you know, react to your upbringing, say, I'm not doing anything my parents did, but to take from it the positive things and add to it what you what you're learning today in terms of building those relationships. You know, everybody does the best they can. And we all have good days and bad days. I've screened at my kids. You know, mm-hmm. This is not, oh, I'm just a perfect parent. You know, right? We all do. We all screw up. But it's a long-term issue. It's a long-term relationship.
Well, you touched on something earlier when you said that one of the problems was they had too many parents.
Mine did.
I couldn't agree more that one of the most dangerous things that families do sometimes when they're in a divorce situation is just that. They either try to play one against the other or they just decide that their way is the right way and they're not willing to compromise that maybe the other parent has some good input. So when you're trying to raise these kids and have two completely different sets of rules, why do you think they're confused?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly it. And, you know, if you have one of the things that came out too, and I get along really well with my ex-husband, so we're fine. But at the time when Matthew went through the wilderness camp, he at the end of it, we all had to sit around on a very cold floor and listen to each of the kids talk to their families. And one of the things he said to his father and his stepmother was, which I just blew me away. I didn't know this. He said, it makes me really angry when I'm at your house and you say something bad about Mom because she never, ever says anything bad about you. And I think it's really important that parents understand. First of all, they chose that person to be the parent, the father or the mother of their children. And that's mm-hmm. the first step. They chose it. And second of all, there needs to be respect to honor the children. The children need to come first. And the hard part is when you get step parents in and everybody has their own opinion, it's really hard to sort through that for the parent who's leading, which is usually the mother, and often but not always. And also it's hard for the step parents. And more than that, it's hard for the child.
Right. Well, I've had some parents that have asked the question, how did you deal with, or maybe not you personally, but how does one deal with the situation when you do have one parent that is saying bad things and the other parent really is just trying to defend themselves and sometimes pointing out the fact that something was not accurate appears to be saying something bad about the other parent, because essentially you're pointing out that they weren't telling the truth, which then becomes the issue of, well, they're bad-mouthing them too. Well, they really aren't if they're just defending themselves. I mean, how do you suggest people deal with that?
Very simply, you do not need to defend yourself. If you just say, oh, really? And the reason is, and this is what I told my husband when we got married, who has children and had a more difficult divorce. I said, you are not to say one bad thing about their mother. And I said, because they will figure it out. And you know what? They figured it out. As they grow older, they figure it out. But they don't have the anger then about you saying bad things about their mother or their whatever, and they appreciate it and they show you. Now, my son came to me and said, Dad says you were the one that wanted the divorce. And I said, oh, really? Well, you know, okay, that's, you know, his perception. But you just don't do it, because they do figure it out. Trust me. Luckily, my husband trusted me, and he found out that that's exactly what happens.
Wow. I understand, and I hope that everybody takes heed, because I know it may be difficult, but I agree, it's incredibly important.
That's right. Just bite that tongue.
Which I find myself doing it on various levels.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, and so tell us a little bit more. We only have really about 6 minutes. So knowing that, what other messages would you like to get out to them, either about Parenting Unplugged or maybe about Earth to Parents?
Well, I think the message is that we have to stop being judgmental, and we have to realize that all of these resources need to be non-judgmental, and that we all think we're alone in this, that we're the only ones going through it, but we're not. Every family goes through similar issues. Not maybe every family doesn't lose a child, and maybe every family doesn't have a child that goes into drug rehab. But we do go through family issues, and it's important to have support and knowledge I think the most important thing is to have knowledge. And if you start thinking about learning about your child's developmental stages and how you can appropriately relate to them and build the relationship, the reward is in how the relationship you have as they are as adults. And my children and in their 20s, we just have a wonderful time together, and it's a healthy relationship because we have sought the resources. And don't be afraid to seek resources. It doesn't make you a bad person or a bad parent. It makes you a much better person and a better parent.
Well, I agree. And in fact, I have told many parents that have come to me and said, but they told me that they're going to hate me for life. You know, my 16-year-old said that, you know, if I make them come home at such and such a time, they're going to hate me for life. Or if I send them off to drug rehab, they're going to hate me for life. And really try to tell them, you know, please understand, after they get through this, they're going to respect you. They're going to appreciate what it is that you did. And you just need to keep reinforcing it was done out of love.
Anthony Wolfe, I have some of his books, and they're hilarious. And one of them is, I have to find the exact way he states it, which is, I think it's, Mom, I hate you, and I'm leaving, but first would you take Charlotte and I to the mall? it's just, kids say, I hate you. I'll tell you, one of the worst things that happened was, you know, my stepdaughter in just a normal 16-year-old thing said, I hate you and I'm never coming home. And she didn't come home because she was killed in a plane crash. Mm. And imagine how crushing that was to her mother. It was a very difficult time because she didn't mean it. She was just being a 16-year-old. And that's what we have to remember, that these kids, it's not personal. They're just trying to figure out who they are and their sense of place, and they're trying on different kind of personas. I just watched the movie Parenthood with Steve Martin, and I want to tell you, it is hilarious, but it is also so wonderfully depicts that kind of allowing your child, even though you're crying and screaming inside and outside, to kind of try these things out, because then they do figure it out. So,
right, you know. And I think another question that the parent can ask themselves when their child makes a statement like that is, what do you think is going on with them right now to feel that they have to go to that point, that they have to push your button at a pretty, pretty difficult level, knowing that they're going to hurt you? What else is going on?
Yeah, positive parenting will answer that question beautifully. There's a couple things that could be going on. And one is they're trying to find their boundaries with you. And the other is they might try to get your attention, even if it's negative attention. So it's something that just has to be explored between the parent and child. But again, positive parenting is a really good resource for those kinds of questions.
All right. Why don't you add again what their website is?
Positive Parenting, the national one, is www.positiveparenting.com. And the Glenda Montgomery one is just PDX, positiveparentingpdx.com.
Okay.
That's the Portland.
All right. And again, tell them, how can they reach you or get to your website or be able to listen to your show on Sundays?
Parenting Unplugged is www.parentingunpluggedradio.com. And if you want to email me specifically, you can go Trudy, T-R-U-D-I, dot earth2parents, T-O, parents, at gmail.com. And that website will be www.earth2parents.com. It will be up at the end of the week.
Yeah, and as I said in the beginning, I love that. I think it's a great
Thank
name.
You.
I think it captures exactly the thought process at that point of, excuse me, Earth to Parents, I know you knew this. You knew this before. Why did it escape you now? In fact, one of the things that cracks me up, there'll be a parent that will start really going, I don't understand what they're going through, and I can't imagine that they would do this to me and everything. I go, I'm sorry, but have you forgotten how you were?
Exactly.
How were you at that
age? And why don't you read the book about their stage? Exactly.
Yeah.
It's hard being a parent. It is the hardest job ever. It's the best job.
The most rewarding. The hardest and the most rewarding. I couldn't agree more.
It's the best. Those hugs and kisses. You gotta love those hugs and kisses.
All right. Well, Trudy, thank you so much for coming on. We're just about out of time. I really appreciate it. I'll ask you right now, while you're on the air, will you come on again after you have your new site up and your new program going?
Oh, I would love to. I've had so much fun talking with you, Alan.
Well, that's great, and I appreciate it much. For those out there listening, watch our announcements, because we will have Trudy on, and hopefully very soon. Again, I thank you, and we will hope to hear from everybody 1 week from now. We're out of here.
Great. Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome. Bye.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say we.